everyone everywhere deserves the opportunity to meet Jesus and to have their lives changed by him. Everyone everywhere. And in a over the summer, my wife and I went to North Carolina, to Charlotte, on vacation to visit some great friends, and we were there for a week. And while we were there, about 2 or 3 days into the trip, some young kids came over, and they had a little flyer because they were starting a babysitting business. And so they handed it to our friends, and so then they left because our friends are like, their youngest is just got out of college, so it's like they don't really need a babysitter anymore, maybe a dog sitter for Barkley, their dog, but otherwise they don't need that. And so they are like, well, we're sorry, we can't really use your help. And then those kids left, but they left the flyer. So we were just passing around the flyer looking at it because you have two girls that were 12, 13 years old starting their own little babysitting business. And it was real cute, and we're kind of looking at it, trying to figure out what the prices are because my wife and I are like, well, maybe we'll hire them to babysit our kids or whatever. And so we're looking at the prices, and then they had their hours of availability on the page. And so they were available 7 days a week. And on weekdays, they were like, we're available from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. or something like that. And then on the weekends, you could tell their parents didn't want to haul them around. And so they had to start an hour later on the weekends. And as I'm looking at that, I'm noticing, I'm like, they've covered pretty much the spectrum of awake time for kids, and at no point did they leave anything in there for God or church. And it's just one of those passing observations when you're looking at it of, hey, that's great, they're starting a business, it's great they're doing that, but their priority was, I'm not going to have any window where I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to be at church, or I'm going to concentrate on my relationship with God or anything. Now, I don't know who they are. I don't know their hearts. I don't know their lives. So I'm just making assumptions based on their schedule. But I just found it interesting that they didn't block anything out. Now, we live in a culture that is radically changing. For those of you that have grown up in church, you can notice the difference now, how people are turning away from faith. It's definitely okay now to just be like, hey, I'm not a Christian and I'm cool with that. Whereas in the past, it was very much, I'm a Christian, I don't go to church, I don't really grow in my faith, but I'm a Christian. Now you're like, hey, it's okay if I just don't have anything to do with faith. And so that's the culture now that we are seeing change around us that we're living in. But everyone everywhere deserves the opportunity to meet Jesus. Now, I love Luke chapter 19, verse 10. It says this, for the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and save those who are lost. I mean, that becomes part of our mission because Jesus' goal is to reach those that are lost. So Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. The lost are those without a saving relationship with Jesus. So Jesus is coming. He's like, I want to bring you into right relationship with the Father. That's his heart of teaching people. So we have to think about it. People that are lost are more than people like me and you. They're more than people that are like me or that I like. Lost people are not just like me, and they might not necessarily like them. They're just lost people. And here's where it becomes really dangerous for us as Christians. Sometimes we go after the people that are just like us. Why? Because it's easiest. Because we're more comfortable dealing with that. Or we go after the people that we like. I like being around you, or I want to be around you, or I aspire to be around you. And we have to kind of switch that mentality. And that's why I wanted to share about this at the beginning of today. When we deal with what happened over the weekend, it's because there are people that it's very easy for us to be like, I don't know if I want that type of person that would come into a church and destroy it if I would want them to be in my church. And we have to kind of change our mentality of, yeah, I want to reach broken people. I want to reach lost people. I want to reach messy people. Because Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. And that's where it gets uncomfortable, but necessary. that we reach out to people that are broken. That means that it could be reaching out to people whose lives are not all together. It could be reaching out to people who are immature. It's reaching out to people that could be broken. And it's also reaching out to people that have everything together. It's reaching out to people that life is good. And it's reaching out to everyone and doing what we can to introduce them to Jesus so that he can transform and change their lives. Because, yeah, we do have the task of, yeah, we have to rebuild a church. Yes, we do have that task, but greater still is we just want to fill heaven. It's just, I want to see people's lives change forever. I want to fill heaven. And so then that becomes our mentality of, I want to do what I can to reach people. Because everyone everywhere deserves the opportunity to hear about Jesus. Romans 1:16, it's a very familiar verse to us. It's just this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I mean, think about the craziness of the gospel message. Just kind of think back to that. But how much transformed this group of individuals that had spent their lives walking with Jesus? I mean, their whole time of walking with Jesus, they're like, hey, at one moment, Jesus is going to come into power. He's going to free Israel. He's going to be the promised Messiah, the promised one, the one that's going to save us all. It's going to be awesome because he's going to come to power and we're right here with him. So we get to be on his right, on his left. We're the team that's going to help make it happen. It's going to be phenomenal. And they're thinking that the whole time. And the whole time Jesus is like, I'm going to die soon. And they're like, no, you're not, because that's not the plan. Remember, it's you're the promised one we've been waiting for. You're the one that's going to be like King David and come in and free us from Roman rule. You're going to help us be free again. It's going to be awesome. Israel's going to be a world power again. You're wrong, Jesus. I mean, they could not grasp what he was communicating to them. It wasn't like a mystery to them the whole time. He's communicating that. And then suddenly it happens. He's arrested. What do? They run away. They run away. Not having anything to do with him. I'm gone. I'm out of here. He's dead. They're hopeless. 3 days later, he's alive. We have Easter celebration. It's this amazing thing. They are pumped when they realize he's alive. Peter's like, I don't even believe Mary when they're like, the tomb's empty. He's like taking off running like, great, they've stolen the body. They're like totally, their minds are blown. He's like, he's dead. Dead people don't come back to life. Now, they were forgetting about Lazarus, you know, a few weeks before, how Jesus did that great miracle there. But here it is. He's like, they run in, they get there, the grave's empty. Then eventually they realize Jesus is alive. They have conversation and everything. That transformed them instantly, where days before they're hiding from the reality that Jesus is dead, were ashamed of everything. Then 3 days later, Jesus has arrived. The resurrection changed everything for them because they're like, wow, he was dead. Now he's alive. We don't have all the details. We don't understand everything, but he was dead. Now he's alive. We're following him regardless of who's against us. I mean, it changed them. The good news of Jesus changed them. The death and resurrection of Jesus changed them. The gospel message is extremely powerful. It changes lives. Think about, for many of you, your testimony about your story of your interaction with God, about how before you really put your faith in Jesus, what you were like, how you thought, how you acted, everything else. And then after you really came to the point of, I just want to walk with and know Jesus, how that transformed and changed who you are. Once you were a mess, then you start becoming a masterpiece. And that transformation. But notice what Paul writes me. He says this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. Now that's cool. Take the pressure off your shoulders. Because it's like, sometimes we're just like, well, I have to do it again. Because everyone everywhere deserves the opportunity to meet Jesus. Everyone everywhere. And then we're like, I have to do all this. It's my responsibility to save them. No, it's not. It's not your responsibility to save them. It's not your responsibility to change their lives. It's not yours. So don't carry a burden that's not yours to carry. Because, I mean, hey, how many times does that get you in trouble when you start carrying a burden that's not yours to carry? You start carrying worries that are not yours to carry. You start carrying stuff that's not yours to carry because it just it weighs you down. But so think about this. The gospel's the power to change people's lives. So Jesus took care of that. So the responsibility of transforming and changing lives is not on you, it's on Jesus. He's the one that transforms and changes lives. So take that weight off of your shoulder and allow that weight to be on the one that can carry it and can do it well and not mess it up. So we took that, but then it's like, it's the power of salvation to everyone who believes, and then it's to the Jew, and then also to the Greek. Now, think about how it is when Paul's writing this to these individuals, their focus is still, man, let's do everything we can to reach the people just like us. Let's do what we can just to reach the people that we like, that we want to be around, that are our people. It's just like, I'm just going to go to the Jews, and I'm just going to go over here, and I'm going to do everything I can to reach you. But then we leave everyone else out. It's like, it's not only the power to transform the lives of the Jews, but the Greeks also. Not just us. Everyone. Or Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then that last part. Because we like the first part, especially within a Pentecostal framework, or really all believers, we love that mentality of, I want the power. I want the Holy Spirit to work in me. I want the Holy Spirit to use me. I want the Holy Spirit to be there for me. And we can look at it from all different perspectives of how the Holy Spirit works and moves. But we're like, I want that part. And we forget part two of the sentence, and you will be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, the Jews, and then in Judea, the more advanced Jews, the smarter Jews, the more educated Jews, the little more well-to-do Jews, in Samaria, really? I can only imagine when Theophilus is reading this and he's studying it as Luke is writing in this letter and he's reading it and it's like, okay, I can get where the story's talking about the Jews could reach everybody in Jerusalem and then to spread out into Judea because those were the guys that were really kind of against Jesus because the Galileans were all for Jesus. The Judeans are like, ah, they're a little bit more against Jesus, but it's like, okay, I can get that. But then he goes, and in Samaria, it's like, whoa! We drive all the way around Samaria and avoid that area completely. And the Holy Spirit's like, no, I want you to go right to the places you would naturally ignore, the naturally avoid, the people you would tend to not even want to be around, and go to them as well. Because everyone, everywhere, deserves the opportunity to meet Jesus. So I outline all this stuff before I get a phone call at 8 a.m. on a Saturday saying, hey, our church got broken into, and I'm driving to the church and I'm like, oh, I hear something like some stuff's messed up and they might have hit a fire extinguisher off. So I'm driving up and I'm thinking, okay, we got a bit of a mess, maybe some stuff's taken, we'll take inventory. Frustrating, we'll deal with it. Hopefully they didn't take some things that are important to us, but hey, we'll just deal with it and move forward. I get up here and it's a winter wonderland in the building. Our fun individuals that had a party that day and made a winter wonderland out of our church are the everyone's everywhere's also. Because the Holy Spirit's there to help us to reach everyone everywhere. so that they can meet Jesus and know him. The Holy Spirit's with us to do what we can. And the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us alone in the process. God's there. He's just like, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean, at the beginning of Matthew, it talks about Jesus's nickname when he's being born is Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, that in itself should be encouraging, but I love the end of Matthew where Jesus is giving them the great commission where he's just like, go into all the world and go and do what you can to reach people so that everyone everywhere can meet me, so that their lives can be transformed by me. But I love this at the very end of Matthew 28:20, and behold, I am with you sometime. No, it doesn't go like that. Behold, I am with you when you do devotions that day. No, it's not that. Behold, I am with you when you're just living perfect. No, it's not that either. Behold, I am with you when you pay your tithes. No, it's not that either. Behold, I am with you when you didn't smart off to something. No, I didn't. That's that. Behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So take the weight off the shoulder, because everyone everywhere deserves to meet Jesus, gives the opportunity to meet Jesus, to have their lives changed by him. But take the weight off of your shoulders, because it's Jesus that died on the cross. It's Jesus that rose again. It's Jesus that transforms hearts and lives. It's the power of the gospel that changes people, not my words. It's what God does. So take that weight off the shoulders and just be like, okay, Jesus, you change hearts. You change lives. And you promised to be with me in the process, so I'm going to depend on you to help me as I just talk to people, as I just interact with them. And so I'm going to trust you to do that, to help me, but I'm going to trust you to change their hearts and their lives. And just realize God's there with you, helping you. God's with you. He's going to give you the words to say. But remember this, because everyone everywhere deserves the opportunity to meet Jesus, then the things we have to remember is, one, if we do nothing, we're guaranteed no results. If I don't do anything, nothing's going to happen. So if everyone everywhere deserves the opportunity to meet Jesus, then I have to move beyond doing nothing. And at the minimum, just be like, hey, would you like to come to church with me? Would you like to be a part of what God is doing in our church? And an invitation is great. And that used to be really effective years ago when people called themselves Christians but weren't really involved in a church. An invitation worked a lot easier then, because you could be like, I know you're not doing much, but come with me to church. We have this, this, and this you can be a part of. And those things are great because you can invite them to be a part of things. And an invitation is a great place to start, but the best place to be is to just have a faith conversation with people. Now, that's harder. It's more awkward. It's more challenging. But it's more life-changing. Because when you invite, you're just like, hey, come with me to church. And you can hand them a little invite card, and those are great, because then they're like, oh, cool. And then they might show up, and they might not, and you just don't know. But that's all your obligation. You're like, here, invite card, that's it. And you're like, hey, I can walk away, say a little prayer, and I'm done. A conversation's harder because they start asking questions. And then you're left, how do I answer these questions? What do I say? What do I do? And you're just like, that's hard, isn't it? Because it's not always, so tell me that faith story, you know, tell me about Jesus. And you start talking to him, and I go, hey, that's great that you believe that, but how do you know it's true? And they start questioning, and they're just like, well, that's great, but what about this over here? Because I went to church as a kid, and then this, this, and this happened to me, and now I don't want to have anything to do with God. So how about that? And then you're just, gets harder, doesn't it? But then we start putting the weight back on our own shoulders. When really it should be, Jesus, help me. Help me to know what to say. Or maybe it could just be, you know, those are great questions. I don't have answers for those. I don't know how to answer that. But let's meet again next week and talk about it again. And let's meet next week and talk about it again. I have a friend of mine that is meeting with somebody at his church regularly. This guy is so against Christianity that he believes in the Norse gods. He's convinced that Thor was a real god and Odin was a real god, and he actually serves those gods. Like when my friend was telling me this, I was like, okay, are you kidding? Is this like a Marvel movie that we're talking about here? And he's like, no, this individual is convinced that this is true and that Christianity's a fable. But then my friend, each week he's meeting with him, trying to reach this individual and talk to him. And then each week there's a little bit more that he chips away at things as he's talking to them, where the guy's just getting more and more open. His life's being changed. Why? Because everyone everywhere deserves the opportunity to meet Jesus and have Jesus change their lives. So remember, a faith conversation is always greater than an invitation, and an invitation is definitely always greater than doing nothing. And we have to do something, because we don't know just good news. We know the best news ever. And it's the only news that anybody's ever going to hear that will truly change their lives. So our worship team's coming. And we're just going to spend some time this morning just worshiping our Jesus. And what I'd like you to do is, one, just enjoy your time in worship. Because there's nothing like just being with Jesus and just worshiping him. So just take your time, just enjoy worship. But also, two, if for some of you, I know, I'm confident that it's emotionally difficult today, because all you have to do is walk down a hallway and see the mess. And so it can be kind of heavy on your shoulders of realizing, wow, they really made a mess. And there's a part of you that feels violated. There's a part of you that feels a little angry. There's at least me. So I shouldn't speak for you. I'll speak for me. It was harder for me to show grace by the end of last night as we were leaving here after cleaning. So it's just like, but I encourage you, just step back and just be like, you know, God, I don't know who these individuals are, but Jesus, I pray that you would save and change their lives. And allow your heart to be soft instead of hard. And then step back, and as you're worshiping, just be like, okay, God, who are the people that are around me that I have the opportunity with? Maybe it's the people I kind of want to sidestep around, that I kind of want to avoid, or whatever. But let's just take the time and just be like, Jesus, who are those people? And help me to be effective in reaching them for you. Let's worship.